Warning. Society has deemed a number of conversation topics as rude to discuss in polite company. Luckily, those rules don't apply here. Welcome to Impolite Company. The host of Impolite Company, Chris Sear.
But anyway, I ordered this Amazon home studio thing. It's not like a big production. You just put your microphone in this enclosure, you speak towards it, and it's got sound tiles around it that absorb some of the echo. So it doesn't sound like you're at your kitchen table, and it protects it from some of the ambient sound, so you can't hear the refrigerator running in the next room. But I just realized as I do this, like, I record it with the microphone isolated. I've done this with a blanket over my head, and I'm always like, there's still an echo there. And I realized that while I'm speaking, I'm staring at a computer screen. That computer screen is reflecting my voice back at me. And while it does it, it goes right across this microphone. So, yeah, that's stupid. I don't know. It might not be how it works. I might be just assuming that computer screen's enough of a reflective device to put the sound, like put that echo back in there. It might not be. I don't know. I should probably put some felt on the tabletop, too. That's a thing I didn't think about till just now. I mean, I bet my voice is bouncing off the tabletop, not just like in the air around the microphone. Man, I could pay somebody to do this, but now I'm not supposed to have anybody in the room with me when I do it. So, I don't know. Anyway, it's Impolite Company. I'm Chris Sear. Day two. My days won't match yours. They won't. We all started doing this. We all started realizing we were living in the middle of a plague at a different time. So, like, if time is relative, man, it's never been more relative than it is in counting how many days we've been in isolation. But for me, day two, the reckoning. That's stupid. There's no reckoning. Like, there's nothing super insightful happened. It's not like somebody came to my door and said, hey, did you look up in the sky, man? A trumpet's blowing, and look, there's like white Jesus standing there looking down with his hand extended. Is it going to be white Jesus that we look in the air and see? Is it going to be whatever Jesus you grew up seeing? Is it going to be black Jesus? Is it going to be John Witherspoon? Because that'd be cool. Like, I know he wasn't black Jesus, but he's up there. If there is a there, there's probably not a there, but if there was a there, and we had to pick a Jesus to come back to let us know shit was getting real, I would accept John Witherspoon. That'd be good. Charlie Murphy. Doesn't matter. Give me someone. Give me someone cool. Prince. Send Prince back to tell us the apocalypse is here. You know, I would be way more into apocalypse prophecy if Prince was gonna be the one who appears in the club. That'd be cool. When they say every knee shall bow, every tongue shall wag. I don't know if they're gonna do it for Jesus. He's kind of not that impressive. He's just some dude who spoke a lot. He gave a good TED talk. Let's be fair. If Jesus existed, and there's a lot of evidence to say he probably didn't, he's a creation and an amalgam of about 30 different people who at various points in time said shit around Israel during the Roman occupation, and then people attributed a whole bunch of teachings of Zoroaster to him. That's fine, whatever. Like, it's cool. But if Jesus existed, we got to give it to the man. He gave a good TED talk. Like that TED talk you listened to about how to wash your hands and dry them with just one paper towel instead of using 30 like a normal person. That's a good TED talk. Jesus's was probably even better, man. He was good at it. He knew how to, like, control the emotions of the crowd. He knew how to ramp them up, dial them back down. He knew how to get them to be like, oh, yeah. But as impressive as his TED talk would be, you know for damn sure if it's the end of the world and you looked up and Prince was standing there, way better apocalypse, way better Armageddon. And, you know, if you like Jesus more than I like Prince, that's fine, man. That's a free country. Don't send me hate mail talking about how blasphemous I am. I can't be blasphemous to a thing I don't believe in. You can be blasphemous to a thing you believe in. So don't go blaspheming Jesus, and I won't go blaspheming Prince. A long time ago, this is not going to be all about atheism. I know atheism is like a boring subject, even to atheists, man. Like, nothing's worse than proselytizing of any bent. But this is interesting to me, and that's why I do this. It's interesting to me, right? Like, hopefully somebody out there in the world thinks it's interesting, but it's always interesting to me. Hold on, I gotta adjust something here. You're gonna hear it because, again, I'm not very professional. I'm sorry, the echo's gonna increase. It's just gonna happen because my dog needs somebody to look him in the eye. So I had to look around the enclosure. Where was I? Oh yeah, anyway, a while back when I decided I didn't much care for praying anymore. Like, you talk and it doesn't feel like anybody's listening because nobody is. And as I was deciding, well, I'm done with prayer, I also realized, like, there's a lot of therapy that comes with just speaking your troubles into the world as if someone's listening. And you don't always want to tell a real person because you don't want the judgment that comes along with that. And even if you're telling a third disinteresting party, like a therapist or somebody who's paid to not tell you you're a crazy son of a bitch, you don't necessarily want another person to know the thing you're saying. Right? Like, it's not all about murder. Sometimes it's just about what you do in the shower and the things you think about when it happens. You don't necessarily want somebody peering behind that curtain. So prayer gets that out of the way for you. But I gotta pray to something. I can't just speak my truth into the universe. I need an audience. So I figured if some people could pray to God or Jesus or whatever deity they chose to pray to, I could pray to someone who actually existed at one point as if their energy still appeared out in the universe somewhere. And they were there as a party to my conversation. I chose Les Paul. I did. For a good 2 or 3 years, I prayed to Les Paul. I wrote letters to Les Paul. Like, well, he was dead. Like, it wasn't before he died. This was after he was dead. And I wrote letters to the man. I, like, bared my soul to Les Paul every chance I got. Because if I had to tell my deepest, darkest secrets to someone, and if I had to tell my brightest hopes and wishes to someone, if I had to implore someone to intercede on my behalf against the forces of the universe that govern physics and the laws of space and time, it was going to be the goddamn man who, like, made the electric guitar that I've always wanted to own. And I ended every prayer with, you know, just blatant consumerism. Every prayer, no matter what it was with, it was like, thank you, Les Paul. And if a Les Paul custom finds its way into my house tomorrow, I won't be sad. Or something like that. I worded it differently depending on how drunk I was. But, you know, there's no reason why now I can't pray to Prince. Like, he's up there if there's a there there. And again, I don't know if there's a there there. I already told you how I feel about the possibility of there being a there, and there might not be a there, but if there's a there, Prince is there. And God. Is there a better God than Prince? I mean, he's weird. So is God. I bet Prince never would have told a man who believed in him to go and take one of his most beloved sons up onto a mountain, put him on an altar, stab him, and then at the last minute go, whoa, dude, don't do that. Prince wouldn't do that. Prince would be like, hey, you don't need to go and kill. That's how he sounded. He had the cutest voice. Like, seriously, the dude could shred and sing, like, an amazing range, but he had the cutest voice. But he wouldn't be like, hey, man, Abraham, you don't gotta kill your son. You just gotta, like, I don't know, teach him to play a Beatles song, but add some R&B hook to it. So it's, like, you know, even cooler than the original was. Abraham'd be like, yeah, man, thanks, Prince. You're a good God. I think I'm gonna worship you from now on. And Prince would be like, yeah, I know. That's right. And that'd be it. Like, that, they'd move on. They'd go, I don't know, man. That's how I feel. Like, if you got to pray to a God, pray to Prince. That'd be weird, though. If it was like, somebody did show up on my front door going, hey, we're in the apocalypse. Prince is in the sky. I'd probably still shit my pants. Anyway. Day 2. That's how that all got started. Me letting you know, for me, this is day two of the coronapocalypse. That's a good word. That's trending on Twitter, man. That's a good hashtag, coronapocalypse. Like, somebody got in early on that marketing. I wish I had trademarked that. I'd sell body wash and hand sanitizer with that logo on it. Call it Bed Bath and Body Works. No. Bed Bath and Beyond. Bath and Body Works. They're probably the same company. Like, seriously, they're different companies, but they're probably the same company. And be like, hey, I got this product I want to market to you. Coronapocalypse. The hand wash for the end. Oh, what are you doing to pass the time? Are you tired of everybody in your family yet? Do you wish they'd all leave the house? Are you wishing someone had coronavirus, the COVID-19, the plague of to modern age? Do you wish somebody had it just so this would all feel worth it? Well, that's cruel. Don't wish that. This is definitely worth it. If we come out of this and you don't know a single person who caught this bug, it was worth it, man. It's not a waste of time. Like, if we come out of this and no one you know has been infected and you're like, well, then why do we do it? That's why. Like, I can't put it any simpler. Stop going to public places. Like, I'm not going to judge you too harshly. I know a lot of comic friends of mine went to every open mic they could until there were no open mics. That's fine. Like, that's your personal choice. But when grandma dies because you went to an open mic, spoke into a microphone dripping with the saliva and whole bacteriological, virological ecosystem that lives in the spit of the average open mic comic, that microphone's just dripping that. Even if you can't see it, it's oozing. Like, get a fucking microscope. Look at that microphone. And you held it in your hand, you touched your eye, shit got in you that you didn't know was there in the first place, and you took that home to grandma, and grandma dies of that in 3 weeks. That was on you. Better been a good joke, that's all I'm saying. But I'm not going to judge you harshly, because I know that's your social interaction, man. You're looking at being locked up for a few weeks, and that's hard for some people to take. They got to get out there, they got to feel like they're doing something. Open mics don't pay. So you might have killed yourself, killed your family, killed some stranger that you just happened to brush up to in the supermarket trying to buy some toilet paper. Also, you could tell that latest dick joke. I don't know. Not worth it to me. I said I'm not judging you. I've clearly, there's a little bit of judgment. But hell, I did stupid shit too. I go out every day and get lunch. There are at least 3 people I interact with for each of those transactions. I think that cuts down on my normal interaction with people. So overall, I'm doing pretty good. But if one of those people has this bug, I caught it. Now, I'm not going to visit my grandma because she's dead. But, you know, I still probably come into contact with some elderly person. Maybe. I don't know. My in-laws are locked up pretty good. Those might be the only elderly people left that I see on the regular. I had to think about that. On my side of family, I don't think I come into contact with too many elderly people. And since comedy shows are done, I don't see any of the blue hairs. Which is a shame. Blue hairs love me, man, because I talk about things they remember doing for real in the 70s. Like, somebody was like, how does the average grandma... That's not Prince, by the way. The person that just, that's a hypothetical person. I wasn't like trying to imply that Prince comes out to a show and asks me questions about my stupid comedy. Prince would be there to see the headliner like everybody else. No one knows who the fuck I am at a show. Anyway, like, the average person sometimes comes up and goes, how does a grandmother feel about you up there talking about sex and drugs and picking up a machete and overthrowing the ruling class, chopping up their bones and distributing them among the, like, common people to eat in a stew? How do they feel about that? And the answer is usually they love me, man. I don't know if it's the dimples. I don't know if it's the fact that I look like and sound like I'm real fun to hang out with no matter what age you are, but it is very rarely, even the most conservative grandmother, grandfather, on a joke about an orgy or a joke about how most of the rich are cannibals, so we might as well be cannibals first, how on board they are just the whole time. They come up after going, I found that very enjoyable. My grandson would love to hear some of what you say. And odds are their grandson doesn't want to, because their grandson's like, yeah, no, man, that's weird. But they love it because they grew up in the 70s, man. They grew up doing LSD for the most part, right? Like, I'm assuming somebody in their 60s grew up in the 70s, right? I can't do math. Anyway, they grew up at a time when LSD was real LSD. Not the LSD people get now, but like the LSD that came on a postage stamp with a cute little picture on it. And you argued with your friends over which part of that picture you got, right? Like it was a piece of LSD with Jimi Hendrix's face on it. And everybody was like, hold on, man. Why do you get all the pieces from his afro? And you were like, because I bought the LSD. And they're like, we all chipped in. Yeah, man, but I had a risk getting arrested by a DEA when I picked this up. Well, we're taking a risk by, that's a good point. You get the afro. And then somebody would get the bandana. That's what you want. That's three hits. Right across the center of Jimmy's head, man. That bandana, that's the good stuff because it's usually red. And red dye enhances the effects of LSD. Everyone knows that. The reason red M&Ms kill you isn't because it gives you cancer, but because red dye has LSD built into it. Scientific fact. Don't quote me on that. That is probably fake. But anyway, you get that bandana. That's the good stuff. But that was the hard LSD too, man. That was the LSD. Like, you take LSD now, it's like, oh yeah, colors are super bright. Some things are wavy. My face is melting. And then I look in the mirror. Ooh, your face is always melting when you look in the mirror. You're old. Even if you're young, you're old, man. We're all old right now. But, like, the good LSD, this was the stuff that made you see a dragon on your front porch attacking you. This is the stuff that made you see leprechauns wandering around your house out of the corner of your eye. Like, this was the kind of acid that you took two hits on your tongue, one hit in your asshole, and you got the full effect within a couple seconds. So when old people come up to me at shows, they remember those days. And they're like, this dude looks like he wants to take us back to when America was really great. It wasn't the 50s when the whites could make sure the blacks never drank from the same water fountain. That America sucked. But the 70s when the whites and blacks both took hits of acid and put them in each other's assholes and just rocked out for a long time. That's the America we need to get back to. Shit, if you vote for me for president, I'm going to take us back to that. That's also a terrible time for America overall because of stagflation, rising fuel prices, crisis in the Middle East. Oh, shit. The IRA bombings were through the roof. If you think ISIS was bad, you should have seen Trevor McGregor. That's not a real Irish person's name. That's probably a Scottish person's name, though. But you get the point. It wasn't all peace and love, but it was a lot of acid and buttholes, and that's good, man. It's good for racism. We were going to fix that shit. Yeah. But then the 80s happened, man. America found cocaine and the stock market. That's not a mistake. The cocaine and the stock market definitely should go together. They're both funded by cartels of various varieties, right? Anyway, that's how old people react to me. That's fun. I like them, but I don't get to see them now. I hope they're still alive after all this, because if I'm going to have any kind of comedy career, quote unquote, laugh emoji, they're going to be there, and I'm going to need them. Oh, what's going on in my notebook? My notebook's so nuts. That LSD shit should be in my notebook. Except, I don't know. Who does? And so that's got to be well-treaded ground, right? Like, nobody wants to hear more jokes about hallucinogens. That's how I'm feeling about edibles right now. Not, like, actual edibles. Those are great. If you got some, man, you should be rocking them out. Marijuana for your person of average body weight in America, which is way higher than average body weight in another country, that should be out of your system in about 30 days, right? Like, it hangs around in your fat cells. So if you go out jogging, don't take a drug test immediately after jogging, like pee a bunch, drink some water, then take a drug test. But like, you're gonna be locked up for a little bit, man. You should be, if you're in Missouri, you could just head across the river to Illinois. If you're in one of those more civilized states where marijuana recreationally is completely legal, you should be stocked up on edibles. If the government ends up sending you this $1,000 check, you don't take it to your local distillery and stock up on gummy bears and chocolate chip cookies. I don't know why you're alive. I don't know why we're saving this civilization. But you got all this time alone. Stock up on edibles. Sit back, enjoy them. But edible jokes, it's like Tinder, man. Everybody's got their own take, and it's all been done. I don't know what
possible new addition I can make to that vast library of humor about edibles already. That's how I feel about like jokes on stage about LSD by now. They've had them all been made. We've all been drinking electric Kool-Aid for 40 or 50 years, man, right? Like, so if it was, if it could be said, it's been said. I don't know. Edibles are fun. They're weird. Even everybody's made all the jokes about how you never just casually take them, about how they kick in when you least expect it, about how they keep kicking in no matter what you do, how you can't turn them off, how you're trapped with an edible, how you forget that you ate an edible, so you eat another edible, how sometimes when you have sex on an edible, you forget you're having sex on an edible, and then you remember you're having sex on an edible, then you forget that you're having sex on an edible, then you remember that you're having sex on an edible, then you forget that you're having sex on an edible, then you remember that George W. Bush probably was behind 9/11. Then you forget that. Then you remember that's probably just conspiracy theory that wasn't very real. Then you remember you're having sex on an edible. Then you remember Donald Trump really did win the election in 2016. Then you remember you're having sex on an edible. Then you forget that you're having sex on an edible. Then you remember that you're having sex. And you're like, whoa, what was that? Because you just came and you didn't even remember you were having sex. Everybody's covered all this material by now, I'm sure.
Anyway, let's see. So my actual notebook, what's in there before we get out of here? Oh, this is interesting. This is, to me, again, everything here is just interesting to me. That's the whole point. If I worried about being interesting to others, I couldn't do it because I'm not. But anyway, I mean, obviously, I'm interesting to 97 people yesterday, at least. That's cool, right? Like, that's decent for a first day back after a really long night. Why am I getting diverted on that? Stop. Anyway, the point is, back before airplane travel was verboten, right at the beginning of this whole thing, when people started wearing masks out in public as if they did anything other than trap in the spit that they sprayed and didn't realize it in between their lips and the cloth and just walking around with those little petri dishes on. I was in Hartsfield Airport in Atlanta, right? What is that? Hartsfield Jackson? I forget the full name. It's Atlanta. I don't know why airports have names. Just tell me the city they're in. You don't need to name your airport. Anyway, I'm in Atlanta and I'm sitting in the terminal at Delta because if anything from this crisis really pisses me off most is I'm on the cusp of Diamond Elite status, on the cusp, which means I could wait in the Sky Lounge instead of sitting. But I'm sitting at the gate and I'm just minding my own business. I know it's not important to have Diamond Elite status, but if you're not like it's a big deal to be on the cusp of it and be so close. And then all of a sudden there's no more airplane travel. So whatever. I mean, judge me. That's fine. But I'm sitting there at the gate. I'm sitting in a chair. I'm playing on my computer. And this dude sits down across from me. And he has on a full painter's respirator mask as if it's going to do anything. And I don't mean like just a cup over his mouth. I mean a cup over his mouth. Two hoses coming out of it, going into separate cans, wrapped around a full helmet with goggles on it. And I'm looking at him and I laughed so hard out loud on accident. Like I meant to laugh inside, but I laughed out loud looking right at him. When I laughed, he looked up and saw me. And then he clearly knew I was laughing at the ridiculous amount of precaution he wasn't actually taking. And he moved. He switched seats. He moved completely across the terminal from me. And I felt bad for a minute. Like, I felt like, oh, that was probably mean. This guy thinks he's doing whatever he should be doing. And then I realized that's my idiot dog running across the dining room right in the middle of the story. So that's fine. He runs the house, not me. He gets to do what he wants. Anyway, I realized that was probably mean of me to make him move, but then it was also stupid of him to wear that mask like he was doing anything. He's part of the problem, man. Sat in that airport for a good extra 4 hours because of some storms on the East Coast, and I was just messed up everybody's plane schedule even though I was coming back to the Midwest. And it was amazing how many people I saw with masks on, just having the mask like on their face, and then like sitting down at a
food court table, eating some Chick-fil-A, reaching under the mask to put food in their mouth, but never actually taking the mask off. It was stupid. I wanted to lick every person with a mask on, but then again, you're not supposed to do that. That's a sexual assault, apparently. Even if there's nothing sexual in it, like, you just want to teach them a lesson. You can't tell a judge, I was just teaching them a lesson about that mask. Judge would be like, yeah, that's still sexual assault. And I'm like, all right, no, that's fair. I shouldn't have done that. That was right before it all went crazy, before it all went to hell. But that trip, man, I saw this one couple, both had masks on, and they were just being all lovey-dovey with their little surgical masks on, sitting at a food court table, and the dude's hand was like right down the girl's pants, right down the back. It was gross. Like, there's no way his hand was not covered in her butt juices, but his mask, his face was totally protected from COVID-19. Inefficient, man. It's all inefficient. We're all just, I don't know, what is it, penny foolish, pound savvy? Or penny savvy, pound foolish? You know the phrase. And if you don't, it's probably not important. It's just some stupid thing I'm trying to remember. Penny wise, pound foolish. That's it. I should remember that, because I always made fun of the fact that Pennywise is always foolish, regardless of how many pounds they weigh. All right, that was dumb. That was worth it. That was worth being the last thing I say today. Anyway, congratulations to Jamie Toon. He won the contest to get a $100 gift certificate for Taco Circus here in St. Louis that I posted on Facebook yesterday. We're going to do another one with Gorilla Street Food, I believe, this weekend. I'll be picking up a gift certificate from them, supporting them in this downtime. And then it'll work the same way. If you follow us on Facebook, you know what we did. Basically, I buy a large value gift certificate. You go and spend anything you can at that business, post a picture of it, and you might win that gift certificate from me. You're not out anything. If you don't win the big gift certificate, you still got tasty food from a local business and a good feeling in your heart from making sure on the other side of this, those businesses might still exist. That's it. If this is only your second or third time listening and you forgot, just a reminder, I don't have a catchphrase. Get out there, live your life, man. No gods, no masters. It's Chris here. It's been Impolite Company. Peace out.